Just thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for answered prayer. And Father, I do pray for everyone here this morning. I pray that everyone here who's watching, and for those who are watching, Lord, who are going through some difficult times right now, whether it be physical pain and other things, we just ask that you would touch their physical bodies, Lord, that they would feel better, Lord, so we could see them in person. And Lord God, I thank you again for just your faithfulness to us. I thank you for just being able to be in your creation as we sang, Lord of all creation. Just thank you, Lord, for that. And Lord, as we continue through the book of Romans, Lord, what a blessing it has been. And I pray today that as we go through Romans 8, Holy Spirit, direct us how far you want us to get. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so, of course, we've been going through the book of Romans now for the last few months. And as I told you, when we hit Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8 are all about this idea of sanctification. So the idea of being set apart for God, okay? So in one way, it's being set apart from the world and being set apart to God, okay? And so as we went through chapter 6, we talked about the fact that Romans chapter 6 is sanctification and sin. And so even though that we've been made right because of our faith in Christ, we've been justified by faith, again, just as if we've never sinned, we go into chapter 6, and chapter 6 talks about the fact that, look, even though we're still justified in God's eyes, we still have to deal with our sin. We still have to deal with our sin nature at times. And so chapter 6 is like Paul reminding the Christians at Rome, saying, look, even though that's true, God is still working in that. And then we went through chapter 7 yesterday. I went through Romans chapter 7 last week, and that was sanctification and the law, okay? And Paul reminded us in chapter 7 that, look, the law can't save you. The law can't change you. All the law can do is reveal that you are a sinner. And then we talked about the battle in chapter 7, okay? The battle that we all have. You know, the things that I want to do, I don't do. The things that I don't want to do, I do. And we all can relate to that. And so as we start here in chapter 8, I want to back up here to verse 21 in chapter 7. And he says this, I find then a law that evil is present with me, that the one who wills to do good, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. Verse 23 of chapter 7. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. See, the law reminds us that we're sinners. Then he says this. He says, verse 24, O wretched man, or oh, how miserable of a man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? So he asks this question, who's going to deliver me from this? And the answer, verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. See, it's Jesus Christ. I said this last week. It's Jesus in the beginning, the middle, and the end. The beginning, I'm justified. In the middle, sanctification. And in the end, we see him face to face. And that's the hope that we have. And so here we go into chapter 8. And chapter 8, it's like chapter 7 and or chapter 6 and 7, you're building to chapter 8. Because now we're going to talk about sanctification and the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. And so he says this, in light of what I've just said, so there is therefore, and as I said, when you see a therefore, what are we supposed to say? Thank you. What is it therefore? Thank you for hearing me that. There is therefore now no condemnation to those, now listen to how he says this, to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And that word for condemnation, it's a very interesting word. The word basically means the sentence that is pronounced. It's the verdict, okay? But the idea is, it's the verdict with the suggestion that punishment is going to follow. So what's the verdict? So remember, we were declared righteous in chapter 5, right? If we put our faith in Jesus. And it's almost as if Paul is saying, look, acknowledge the fact that that's a truth. And then acknowledge the fact, yes, we know as believers, as we continue to walk with the Lord, as he continues to mold and shape us through sanctification, we're going to struggle at times. We're going to have battles with our flesh. But that's okay. That's okay. Because there's no condemnation. See, here's another way to look at it. I was just talking about with this somebody last night. Look, the fact that you struggle with sin is a good thing. That means the Spirit of God dwells inside of you. If you just sin and you have no remorse, you have no desire for repentance, you have no struggle with it, you're just habitually sinning, then I would suggest you're not saved because the Holy Spirit's not inside of you. You ever have that situation where you go somewhere you know you shouldn't go and the Holy Spirit convicts you? We were talking about this with somebody last night too. I remember when I first got saved, there used to be, I think it still exists, I'm not sure, there used to be this t-shirt store called Hot Topic. Okay? You don't have to check it out. It's just terrible topics, okay? And I walked in there after I got saved, and I'm going to tell you, I felt so oppressed and so convicted by the Spirit of God. At the time, I had no idea. Like, we would probably say it like, I got this, like, weird, like, if you're popular with superheroes, it's like Spider-Man, my spidey sense is tingling. Something's tingling here. It's not right, okay? And what it was is the Holy Spirit was convicting me. I shouldn't be in this place. It's no good for me. So then when I left, I didn't have that sense anymore. So the fact of the matter is the struggle that we have is a real struggle, but the fact that we have the struggle is a good thing. Now, that doesn't mean that's a license for like, oh, the struggle, oh, it's good, now I can do whatever I want. No, that's not the case either. And so there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The idea there in Christ Jesus, again, you've got to be, how do you get in Christ Jesus? You put your faith in Christ. You receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's how you do it. And he says, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. See, there's a difference. And so he says this in verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law and sin and death. The working of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer is regular, like the law, but not mechanical, for it is life. So you can't find life in the law. The life is through your relationship with Christ through the Holy Spirit. See, where the Spirit is, there's life. Remember that. Where the law is, it brings death. And so verse 3, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his Son, his own Son, in the likeness of sinful flesh. Now let me stop there. When it says in the likeness of sinful flesh, it does not mean, and please hear what I'm about to say, it does not mean that Jesus was a sinner. It means that God took on human flesh. You know, it says that in John chapter 1, that God came and dwelt among us, and he put on human flesh. It just, all this means is he put on flesh. But see, Jesus never sinned, and that's the point. So don't read this and go, oh, and the like... All it means is in the likeness of sinful flesh. And the idea is there he put on flesh. He put on bodily flesh. Okay? And so, on the account of sin, he condemned the sin in the flesh. And how did he do that? Because, goes on here, verse 4, that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Here's the point. God came in human flesh, that's Jesus Christ, and he fulfilled the righteous requirements of the law. See, he did it for us, so that if we put our faith and trust in him, guess what? We can walk in that. And we'll explain, I'll develop that more as we go through here. But Jesus, and he's the only one who fulfilled the righteous requirements of the law. Look, there's nobody on earth, now or in the past or will come in the future, a human being that will be able to do this. There's only one, and it's Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to say this in verse 5. He says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So there is a contrast. He's making a contrast here. He's making he's showing a difference. And so when it says here, set their minds, the idea there is governed by those things that they focus on. So here's the point. If you're focused on the flesh, what do you think you're going to think about? You're going to think about the flesh. See, that's why, look, you know, if we think about this, that's why when we as believers, when we fill our minds with garbage, so how do we fill our minds with garbage? Well, what do we listen to? What music are you listening to? Look, it's not that music can make you do something, because here's the thing. Your flesh and the devil want to destroy you, okay? Well, your flesh, let me put it this way. Your flesh wants to fulfill its appetites, okay? But the devil wants to destroy you. But here's my point. Ultimately, you choose whether or not to do what you're going to do. It's your responsibility. See, we don't like to say that. See, the amazing thing is God gave us individual freedom as an individual person, and we have the choice to walk in the things of the flesh, which means we'll set our minds on the things of the flesh, which means we'll focus on those things and we'll be governed by those things, or we have a choice to what? To be walking in the Spirit. Put your mind on the things of the Spirit of God. And we'll talk about that in a second. But here's the point, what you listen to. The music can influence the way you think. I remember, guys, before as a Christian, some of the music I listened to was awful. I remember one time telling my wife years ago about what the music was, and she's like, you listen to this? This is awful. And yet, it would fill your mind with ideas that are contrary to God. Think about all the love songs you've ever heard in your life, right? Okay? Think about all the love songs you've ever heard in your life, and those love songs oftentimes have a wrong view of a love relationship between a man and a woman. You know, one of the jokes I've heard is, like, if you listen to country music, basically it's about either, you know, your horse ran off, your truck broke down, or your wife or girlfriend left you or whatever. All right? So let's go have a party now. You know, that's kind of like, you know, I could say that because I really don't care for country music. But the point is, if you listen to something long enough, it is going to influence the way you think. Here's another one. What are you watching? In light of, like, this whole pandemic in your home and you're watching, you know, TV, what are you watching? Because listen, if you watch certain things, I remember my wife and I were talking about this. We used to watch this show years ago. It was a stupid teen drama. But I said to her, I remember before we were watching this, I remember in my mind, the things that I saw, the images and those things were planted in my mind. And the way that I looked at relationships, even my own life, I kind of compared it to that. It's crazy. That's why something like pornography is so dangerous. Because if you're a man looking at pornography, you're looking at this fake image, basically, because it is fake, and you're comparing it, especially if you're married, to your wife. See, what you look at, and as a man, it's more, because we're more visual, but at what you look at, what you listen to, hey, where you go, who you hang out with, that makes all a huge difference. And see, if you have your mind on the things of the flesh, you're going to, what? You're to be governed by the appetites of the flesh. And that's what Paul's trying to say. And here's the idea here for contrast with the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, right? But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So you set your mind on the things of the Spirit. What are the things of the Spirit? Well, first of all, God's Word. If you read God's Word every day, you fill your mind, you renew your mind, the Bible says. Well, it says that in Romans 12. How about coming to church? Hanging out with Christians in person? That makes a huge difference. Praying. How about this? Just simply listening to the Holy Spirit when He says, don't do that or go there. Okay, I'm not. But there are times in my life where I know where I disobeyed the Holy Spirit. I know. I know I did. And every time I did, it led me into trouble that I wouldn't have gone into if I just would have listened. And so He goes on to say this in verse 6. He says, for to be carnally minded, that is to be fleshly minded, listen to what it says, is death. And see, listen, as we read through this chapter, we're probably only going to get through to verse 17and today. But as we read for these verses here, I'm reading through this, and I'm just like, it's amazing how the Holy Spirit in the Word just kind of just, I don't have to add many comments to this. He makes it crystal clear to us as believers. So, for to be carnally minded, that is to be fleshly minded, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Do you want life and peace in your life? Do you? I do. But here's the point. Which one do you want? Which one do you really want? Because are you willing to do the things that would keep your mind on the things of God and the things of the Spirit? Or are you just going to allow... It's so comfortable, guys. It's so comfortable to get into this mindset of walking in the flesh. And here's the other thing. When you are governed by the flesh and you're walking in the flesh, you never have peace. Like if you're watching this morning or listen later and you're sitting there and you're going, I don't have peace in my life. It's because you don't have the Spirit of God. It's because you're not allowing the Spirit of God to lead you. You're not allowing the Spirit of God to work in you. You're never going to find peace. How about another thing? You're never going to find rest. You ever meet somebody who's not a believer? And they're walking in the flesh, and there's never any peace in their life. There's never peace in their relationships. There's never peace in any aspect of their life. There's a reason for that, because they're being ruled by the flesh. And guess what? As Christians, we can do the same thing. How about this? Church hopping. See, in this day and age of church, we love to do that, especially in the United States, where we like to hop from church to church. And we do that, why? Because we look at it and we go, wow, that worship team is awesome. Or wow, their coffee shop, the coffee tastes so great. I'm using extremes, okay? Or my kids really love the youth group because they have a lot of fun. Instead, is the Spirit of God leading you there? Is the Spirit of God telling you where to go? That's, see the difference? See, we allow our flesh to rule our life, and we want to fulfill our fleshly appetites. And as we know as believers, guys, and if you're not a believer, you know this too. The truth is, no matter how much you try to feed your flesh and satisfy it, you never do. You never do. And see, it's like this. The idea of pornography. It's like, gets a hook in your mouth. And when you get a hook in your mouth, it's hard to get it out. Just ask a fish. I'm just kidding. But you follow what I'm trying to say here. So there's a difference, and we can do this as believers. So I don't know about you, but hopefully, when we look at these verses, we want life in peace. We want to be spiritually minded and not carnally minded. See, what you fill your mind, see your mind, look at it this way. When we talk about the church of Jesus Christ, who do we say the head is? It's Christ. And what does the head do with the body? It directs everything else. It tells your heart to pump. It tells your lungs to breathe. It tells your hand to pick that up. It tells your hand, don't touch that hot stove. Okay? Those kind of things. So if we want to be spiritually minded, it's going to direct the way that we live, if you think about it. So if you fill your mind with the Word of God, if you fill your mind with the things of God, if you meditate upon your Word, what do you think is going to happen? You're going to walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. Are you guys checking with me this morning? You guys understand what I'm saying? Okay. So verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. See, the carnal mind, you're at odds with God. You understand that. When you have a carnal mind, when you think in fleshly terms, you are at odds with God. And I don't have to tell you that. If you're a believer with Jesus Christ, you probably all have experienced that. Trust me. And here's the other thing. Just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean I don't struggle with this stuff. Trust me, I do. I do. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. See, again, this is the idea, the law cannot subdue your flesh. It can't. It's got to be an internal work, and the internal work is with the Holy Spirit. And so then he says this, and listen, underline this verse, circle it, mark it in your notes, however you want to do it, but this verse is so important. If you just simply grab this verse from this morning. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Let me read it to you again. Real simple, real direct. I wish Paul could be more direct to the Spirit. Now he's direct. He says this. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. I don't know about you, but as a believer in Jesus Christ, what do I want to do? I want to please God, don't I? I want to please God. So I can't. Oh. Hold on 1 second. We're getting some feedback. Still getting some of a bit, I think. Is that better? Yeah, I think it's better. I don't hear the whistle. I heard a little whistle here and there. Thank you. I love technology, just like I love lawnmowers, too. I'm being facetious. Yesterday was a fun lawnmower day, let me just tell you. Anyway, so, okay, so, look, you cannot please God when you're in the flesh. You can't do it. So why would you try? Why do you try? See, the flesh cannot please God. Don't you want to please God as a Christian? So, okay, so then you need to get out of the flesh. You need to get out of the flesh. So verse 9, but you, and that's a important but there, but you, listen, he's reminding you. Paul is reminding us Christians. He reminded the Christians at Rome. He says this, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed, the idea there is since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, listen to this. He is not his. See, here's the point. When you become a Christian, when you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are born again by the Spirit of God. And when that happens, the Spirit of God literally comes and lives inside of you. And that's what he's talking about here. The Spirit of God dwells in you. You guys need to be reminded of that. We all need to be reminded. Even in their most challenging times, we're tempted by sin or tempted by Satan or whatever. You need to be reminded that the Spirit of God dwells inside of you. The Spirit of God dwells inside of you. And see, that's a mark. That's a proof that you're Christ's. See, if the Holy Spirit is not inside of you, you are not Christ. I remember years ago that, and this is like kind of late 80s, early 90s, and I remember this idea where people would say, oh, you're one of those born-again Christians. And why would you say that? Well, you would say you were born again because born again by the Spirit of God. You can't be a Christian without being born again. And if you're born again, guess what? The Spirit of God lives inside of you. So that's the point. Verse 10, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead. Remember, we talked all about that in chapter 6, where, look, we are to reckon the old man, we are reckon our body of flesh dead because of what Christ has done. And if Christ is in you and the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, see, that's the same Holy Spirit. Don't forget this. The Holy Spirit that is in each of us, if you're a believer, is the one that raised Jesus from the dead. Don't forget that. There's actually a song now by Jeremy Camp that talks all about that. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. See, here's the answer. The answer to this struggle inside of you is to remember the fact that the Holy Spirit is inside of you. God has given you the helper that you need. Remember Jesus said in John chapter 14 or 16, I believe it is, he calls the Holy Spirit the helper. That idea is the paraclete, to come alongside. See, look, the Holy Spirit dwells in you now. So he's right there trying to help you. Verse 12, therefore, again, what is it therefore? Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. So in other words, you don't owe your flesh anything. You're not a debtor. What does it mean to be a debtor? It means you owe something. See, he's saying, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, but the idea is not the flesh, to live according to the flesh. You are not a debtor to the flesh. You owe your flesh nothing. If you live according to the flesh, okay, this chapter is just so blunt and it's so easy to understand. Listen. For if you live according to flesh, you will die. I mean, I don't know how more to say. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, and you will live. For listen, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Okay? And look, you can throw women in there too, the daughters of God. The idea there is you become a part of the family of God. And then he says this in verse 15. He says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again. Okay, this is something we need to pay attention to. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again. What does it say? To fear. To fear. Let that resonate a second. Just said earlier, Paul says that if you live according to flesh, you're going to set your minds on the things of the flesh. So Paul's saying here now, look, this spirit that you got is not a spirit to bondage. Because here's the thing about the flesh can put you into bondage. And fear, say the fear of God, I need to say this. When you say the fear of God, when you say fear, you're talking about a reverence and a respect for God. But see, we often don't walk around that kind of fear. We walk around the other fear. The fear that comes from our flesh, where we're afraid, where we're scared. And so Paul is saying that is not the spirit that he has given you. Because if we walk around in fear, ask yourself this question. This last year, however long it's been, it seems like 10 years, with this pandemic and stuff, are you walking around in fear? Because if you're walking around in fear, you're in bondage to that fear. I'm not talking about foolishness. I'm talking about fear. Okay? We as Christians, see, that's what makes us different. If the Holy Spirit is inside of us, are we supposed to be afraid? The answer is no. Because here's the thing. We know who wins in the end. Who wins? Right? And we know that we have the Spirit of God inside of us. So he didn't give us... So again, read this again. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The idea of Abba, Father is Daddy. Daddy. Look, adoption. That word for adoption means the placing as a son. The place and condition of a son given to one whom it does not naturally belong. Let me read something about adoption. So in the Roman world of the first century AD, when Paul wrote this letter, an adopted son was a son deliberately chosen by his adoptive father to perpetuate his name and inherit his estate. He was no whit inferior in status to a son born in the ordinary course of nature. And then says this also, under Roman adoption, the life and standing of the adopted child changed completely. The adopted son lost all rights in his old family and gained all new rights in his new family. The old life of an adopted son was completely wiped out. Does that sound familiar? With all debts being canceled, with nothing from the past counting against him anymore. That's what we have now with Christ. You understand that. With God the Father, because of Christ now, we have been adopted. We have been brought into the family of God. That old family, the family of sin and the flesh, has now been put to death. Those rights over my life, or those rights over me are gone. I have new rights now, the rights that come from God the Father. Do you understand that? That's why he's using this idea of a father. See, look, God talks about our relationship with him as a father. It's not because he thinks mothers are bad, but we all can relate to the idea of a father, of having a father. And listen, I understand some of your earthly fathers were terrible to you. But see, God is not a terrible father. God loves you. See, because of what Christ has done, if I put my faith in Christ, I'm then adopted and brought into the family of God. I have a new family now. And I have the rights like everybody else. And we're going to find in a moment, you have the same rights as Jesus Christ himself, God's only son. And so, Abba, Father, Daddy, think of it this way. Well, let me say this. If you go to Israel to this day, you can hear sons calling their dads, Abba, Abba, Abba. See, I remember when I was younger and my two sons were younger. And, you know, I remember them calling me Daddy. And sometimes I wish they still did, but I know that's not, you know. But my point is, because when they used to call me Daddy, it was like there was this relationship with them that they were just like, you know, so reliant upon me. They were so reliant upon me. Daddy, hey, Daddy, let's do this. Hey, Daddy, let's play with the cards. Hey, Daddy, hey, Daddy. And I remember that. And see, when I think of it in terms with God, it's like you cry out to God, Daddy. You know, it's like this, Daddy, I need your help. Father, I need your help. And that's the relationship that you can have because you've put your faith in Christ and because the Holy Spirit is now inside of you. This idea of Abba, Father. Okay. We're going to do a field trip. Turn to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. Left-hand turn. Mark 14. Now, would we agree that as Christians, we want to follow Jesus Christ's example? Well, here you go. Here's an example with Abba Father with Jesus. So we're going to be in verse 32 of chapter 14. Familiar passage. It says, then they came to the place which was named Gethsemane, which means oil press. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. And he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch. And why? Because what's about to happen is Jesus is beginning to understand that the time where he's going to bear the sins of the world is coming. And so what's going to happen is, because he bears that sin, it says in the Bible that he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of Christ. And here's the point. Because of becoming sin on the cross, the fellowship with God the Father was about to be broken because of sin. And so Jesus is thinking about all these things as he's preparing himself what he's about to go through. And then in verse 35, it says, he went a little farther, fell on the ground, and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. But then look what he says here. In verse 36, he said, Jesus said, Abba, Father, Daddy, Dad. So the same idea of when my boys were younger, Daddy. Now they call me Dad. But here's the thing. When they call me Dad, I know sometimes when they're serious and when they really need my help, Dad, Dad, I need you. Dad, help me. And that's what Jesus is saying. Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. See, Jesus is our example, and we look to this, and so in one of the most challenging moments of Jesus' life on earth, if you will, what does he do? He says, Abba, Father. Now, from Mark 14, turn to Galatians chapter 4. So go back to Romans, but past Romans. Galatians chapter 4. So he says this in verse 6. He says, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Again, the same idea. See, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you, and because of that, you can cry out, Abba, Father. Dad, I need you. Now back to Romans. See, that's the point of all this. Remember I said in the beginning, again, Jesus is there in the beginning, the middle, and the end. And so when you're going through difficulty, when your flesh is becoming overwhelming, what can you do? What does he say? You can cry out, Abba, Father. Dad, I need you. Dad, help me. You see the point. And he says this, he goes on in verse 16, he says, I don't know why I keep saying he says, but anyway, the word of God says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. See, one of the ways you know that you are saved is because the Holy Spirit's inside of you, as I said earlier. That's how you know. In fact, in Ephesians, it says that you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. The idea of there being sealed is either two ideas there. You are sealed like a signet ring, like if you would put a seal on something to show that it's yours, or a seal like Tupperware, where it goes, you know how you close Tupperware? It goes like that, okay? You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. That's why you can't be demon-possessed as a believer, because God's not into time-sharing, okay? But here's the point. With the Spirit of God, you are sealed in Him. And your spirit, our inside, our spirit with the Holy Spirit, what? It testifies to the fact, it's a witness to the fact that we are children of God. And then, verse 17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we will suffer with him, and we'll talk more about that next time, that we may also be glorified together. See, here's the point. You have now become an heir with Christ. See, this whole idea of adoption. So not only now, you're not a natural born son. We're not natural born sons and daughters. Why? Because we're born in the flesh. But if we're born again by the Spirit of God, we're adopted into the family of God, and we have just the same rights as Jesus himself. We're joint heirs with him. So we're going to get what he gets. So that's why when the Bible says that we're going to rule and reign with him, that's why it says that. See, that should make you excited. That should encourage you this morning. Even in your deepest struggles with sin or your deepest struggles with your flesh as a believer, you should be encouraged this morning because you are joint heir with him because of the Holy Spirit inside of you. Look, we talked about this last week. You're not worthy. and not for Christ, you deserve death. So settle that. You've put your faith in Christ now. And God has given you the resources and the ability to overcome this life. Do you understand that? See, I read these verses this week and I thought to myself, you know, what a great thing to encourage one another in. You know, what a great thing when you don't know what you're doing or what to do and you're struggling with your flesh, you're struggling with your sin. Read Romans 8. Read Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8 to be an encouragement to you, to tell you that, look, God is with you. God is there for you. God loves you. God has given you everything you need to overcome this life and to not be afraid. Do you understand that? Like, there's nothing, I don't know, I can't comment more on it and make it more clear. The Holy Spirit has done a masterful job in these verses this morning to you. See, when I need help with things sometimes, especially things around the house, I know I can go to my dad. And I say, Dad, hey, I need help. I'm having this problem with this. And it's amazing how oftentimes when I'll ask him something about something, he'll go, okay, well, it sounds like this. Try this. And a lot of times when he says, try this, it actually works. Here's the thing. It's like God the Father saying, hey, you can ask me if you're in trouble. And guess what? What I'm going to tell you actually works. It actually works if you do it. But see, we don't do it. See, that's really what it comes down to. And see, that's why, look, this becomes a choice. It's like I said from verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Which do you want? Which do you want? I don't know how more clear God has made it to us in His Word. God loves us. He is our Heavenly Father. When you are struggling, and we all struggle, you can go to your Heavenly Father. And you can say, Dad, I can't do this anymore. You can say, Dad, I'm treating my wife terrible. I don't want to treat my wife terrible. Help me. Not that I treat my wife terrible. Whatever it is. Or, you know, Dad, I'm looking at this pornography and I can't stop. I don't know how to do this. Dad, I need you. Do you really think that if you cry out to God, He won't answer you? He will. The issue isn't that He doesn't answer. The issue is we don't do what He tells us to do. That's the issue. I don't know about you, but I want to please God. And I would take a chance on the fact that all of you who are believers want to please Him too. He's given us the means. He's made it clear. So now what are you going to do with it? Let's pray. Father God, we thank You so much for this day. Again, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the truth of Your Scripture. And Father, this morning as we read Your Word, as we looked at it, as we studied it, Lord, You make it so clear to us. You make it so clear to us. Lord, we know that the struggle is real. We can all testify of that. But we also know, Lord, You have told us what the answer is. The answer is Your Spirit. The answer is Your Word. The answer is prayer. The answer is fellowship. Even above all those things, the answer is You, Father. Lord, You have given us the ability to cry out to You and call You Father, to call You Dad, to have that intimate relationship with You. And Father, I pray for anyone here this morning, first and foremost, who is here, who is watching, who will listen later, that if they don't know You, if God, You are not their Father, that today they would make You their Father, that they would simply just say, God, I know that You're real. I know that You sent Jesus to die for my sins. I know I'm a sinner. Please forgive me, Father, by the blood of Jesus. And Father, make Jesus the Lord of my life from this day forward. It's that simple. And then, Father, maybe it's someone here this morning who is struggling, who is a believer and struggling in their flesh, who is struggling with sin, temptation, whatever it is. Father, You say in Your Word that we're still able to cry out to You. We're able to call You Dad. Remind them, Lord, this morning who are struggling of this truth that we learn in chapter 8. that the Spirit of God dwells in them and has given them the ability to cry out to you. Oh God, would they do that? And Lord, help us to be those who not just acknowledge the fact that we're sinning or acknowledge the fact that there's a struggle, but help us to be those too, Lord, that actually listen to what you tell us to do, that actually are those who dependently, wholly and dependently rely on you. Again, Lord, I'm reminded in my mind of when my boys used to call me Daddy. And when they would fall, and they would say, Daddy, and I'd go over and pick them up. God, that's what you want for us. That when we fall, that when we stumble, you just want us to say, Daddy, help us. Thank you, God, that you're so faithful in those things. Thank you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. God bless you guys. Praying for you guys.